Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent, rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God." And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. One of the key passages dealing with the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, you know, catcher, pitcher, no, there are many. Catcher and pitcher are gifts, but they're not spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are the gifts that God gives to us so that we might build up the body in love. Interestingly, spiritual gifts are given to us not for our good, but for the good of others. Let's listen in to what the Apostle Paul has to say about spiritual gifts. "Therefore, I made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, we know that on that first Pentecost, the word was so alive that people could not help but be gripped by it, that there was life change happening that day and has continued wherever your Spirit falls in power. And so we ask, Lord, that once again, the Spirit might fall afresh on us, just as we have sung, and that we would find ourselves given over to the mission to which you call us, responding to your love and loving. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Gift cards. How many of you have some gift cards at home, stuffed away someplace? I've got some. They're a great way to give something so that it can be enjoyed rather than the proverbial tie or the handkerchief. You know, the things that very easily are given. The 39.2% of shoppers are going to purchase department store gift cards for friends and family in a given year, followed by 33.4% of shoppers opting for a restaurant gift card. The gift card that you see on the screen, a Marriott card, was given to Kathy and me for Christmas in 2012. We still have it. Today we leave for later, after our worship time, we're going to be spending a few days up on the Connecticut coast, and we're going to stay at a Marriott. Finally, this card is going to get used. But it's been sitting there. It's a $50 gift card. You know, that's dinner. According to the Journal of State Taxation, the typical American has an average of $300 in unused, unredeemed gift cards in their home. $300. These cards have often been misplaced, accidentally thrown out, or only partially redeemed. I was working in the garage at the parsonage, and I came across two unused gift cards that were laying there in the garage. I didn't put them there, but they were expired. They couldn't be used. This is what happens so easily for all of us. Between 2005 and 2011, there were $41 billion worth of gift cards. $41 billion worth of gift cards that went unused. All of that gift available, unused. Today, we're celebrating the gift of the Holy Spirit, who brings with him a huge bag of gifts to give out to everybody in the church. They're better than gift cards. There's a gift, there are several gifts for everybody. Have you gotten yours yet? If you've gotten your gift from the Holy Spirit, put up your hand. Some of you are still waiting for the gift. Do you know the Holy Spirit gives you a gift when you say yes to Jesus? The Spirit gives you several gifts when you say yes to Jesus. But like gift cards in the drawer, the gifts of the Spirit often remain unused, sitting on a shelf, or the floor of a closet, or the floor of a garage. In the body of Christ, in the church, everybody has a job to do. Did you know that? Everybody has a job to do. We come to worship, and if we think that we've finished our work just because we've been here, this passage of Scripture wants to tangle with you. Because this is just the beginning. This is where we're encouraged and where we're built up, where we understand the mission, and then we go from this place to use our gifts. Everybody has a job to do. Just like catcher and pitcher, batter and first base, and left field too. In Christ's body, everybody has a job to do. Verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, "There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord." There's all this variety. But the same Spirit who's over all of this and is constantly giving out the gifts. Verse 7 says, "To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." The manifestation of the Spirit is the gift that he gives to you and to me. But what's it to be used for? For me, right? No. It's to be used for the common good. The common good That means that which is brought together. It's the word symbiotic is in here. That here we are all together, and this gift gets to be used for the common good. But so does that gift. And so does the gift back there, and the gift in that office, and the gift which you are. There's going to be some time of fellowshipping after the worship service. And some of us are just naturals at hospitality, and some of us really have to work at it. Some have the gift of hospitality. You know, my wife Kathy has a gift in this. She makes people feel at home. That's a gift of hospitality. So many gifts. But she's not given the gift of hospitality to make herself feel good. It's given so that we feel good. We feel loved. We feel valued. Not all the gifts are that easy. But every gift is given so that we might bless other people. Now that should bring something to our remembrance. To bless means to bring honor, to confer well-being, to cause to prosper, or to speak well of someone, even our enemies. Blessing is what we as a church are about. We said that a few years ago when we said this is going to be our mission, to bless people. But not the garden variety of blessing. We said our blessing would be extravagant. Extravagant means unrestrained, exceeding reasonable bounds. That means we're taken beyond what we think is right and good to be somewhat foolish with our blessing. And that's the way God is with us. When we give the store away, somebody might say, that was foolish. And God said, no, that's what I do all the time. I'm constantly giving beyond what anybody would expect. You know, there's the expected. There's the obligatory gift, which is really not a gift. It's expected. But extravagant blessing goes beyond what is obligatory. It's like when we're in a restaurant, and the bill comes, we start to count it up. Well, in this area, 15% is obligatory. 20% is even better. But suppose your tip goes over the top. Maybe it's 25, 30, maybe it's 100% tip on there. That's, you know, you paid $30 for your meal and you gave the waitress or the waiter $30. You say, foolish. God says, that's the way I do it. Extravagant. Extravagant blessing. And so, that is our mission. Seaview's mission is for, we should know this by now, for all of us to extravagantly bless people with the love of God. So together, we grow to follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. This is not coming out of our heads. This is coming out of our hearts. We're following Jesus because we're hooked. Hook, line, and sinker, he has us. He has our hearts, and so we believe an extravagant blessing. Who is chosen for this work of extravagant blessing? Who is it? All of us, exactly. You are. I am. We all are. We sing the song. In fact, we're going to get a chance to sing it again. Make me a blessing. And when you hear those words, when you sing those words, what do you have in mind? What do you picture as you sing? Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. That's what we sing. That's our prayer. Make me one who brings honor, confers well-being, brings prosperity, speaks well of others, and let it be extravagant, unrestrained, exceeding reasonable bounds. So how has God gifted you to bless others? There's a grocery list in this passage of Scripture. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, the distinguishing of spirits, tongues, the interpretation of tongues. That's the list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can find more in Romans chapter 12 and more in Ephesians chapter 4 and a few others sprinkled in other places throughout the New Testament. But we have other evidence that there are gifts that are given to us in music. I mean, some of us are just really gifted in music, and some can't sing worth a plug nickel. That's okay. My mom, I'll rat her out. She's a monotone. She always says, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. My dad, on the other hand, had a gorgeous voice. They were quite a duo in church. Dad sang out, and I heard mom singing, and I thought, oh, please be quiet. But she wanted to. She wanted to give honor to God. Sometimes we do it feebly, but sometimes with gusto. There's the gift of teaching. There's the gift of artistry. Some people just have a gift. We know Tom's got that gift. If you've ever seen any of Tom Sandor's sketching, you probably have been sketched because Tom has always got a pencil and a pad ready to go, and he's constantly sketching. It's just amazing stuff that Tom does. Some have gifts of organizing. You know, they just get things together. Some have gifts of service. Some are wizards in the kitchen. And with that, they're able to put together tasty meals. And some have a hard time boiling water. Giving is another gift. You know who the first person in this church that comes to mind as soon as I think of the gift of giving is? Well, Vera certainly had it. But currently living, May Oman. May Oman just says, she has given and given, and even now, she gives. She gave me her envelopes last week and said, I wish I could give more, because that's always the heart of a giver. Extravagant. And then there's the greatest gift. You know what that one is? It's the gift that every one of us gets and can share. It's the gift of love. The gift of love. We all can make use of these gifts for building up the body. The thing that's important is that you learn what your gift is. And if you don't know, come see me. I'll spend time with you, talking it out with you, helping you to understand as best as I can understand. There's a whole process that we can go through, but I would love to spend the time with you. The thing that's important about these gifts is that they are not used for our glory, but for God's glory. We oftentimes think, well, I get this gift and I get to really look good with this. Would you use the gift if nobody ever said thank you other than God? When you get to that place, now you know we're starting to get somewhere. Matthew Eldridge is a person whose hands and feet and body you have seen, but you've never seen his face until now, and you've never heard his voice. That's because Matt Eldridge, who is a Christ follower himself, serves in the movies as a body double. Recently, for instance, his hands, his feet, and his body was used as a stand-in for Jason Bateman in the film Identity Thief. Many of us saw the film. Eldridge says, I don't care that Bateman gets all the attention and the fame. He says, this is how I see my role. Bateman has become a household name. He grew up a child star. He moved on to leading roles in Arrested Development and Juno and Horrible Bosses and others. He says, but you've certainly never heard of me, Matthew Eldridge, though you may have seen my hands on screen. How many of us know the names of anyone behind the scenes in Hollywood? The directors of photography, the camera people. Great films rely not just on the acting talent that we can see, but a team of talented individuals who work together using their gifts in lighting and sound and special effects and painting and props and so on. And that's just the production. There's more. Close to 100 crew tirelessly works 15 hours a day so Jason Bateman can shine. And they have an understanding that though their work may be underappreciated and they might probably go unnoticed, you know, their names are listed there in the credits that just go quickly past us as we walk out of the show. But they do it anyway. Why? Because they love being a part of the creation process. They love using their gifts. It's not just a paycheck. There's something almost magical about creating something collectively larger than ourselves. That's like Vacation Bible School, or an Easter egg hunt, or Bethlehem Bound. All of the work that goes in to caring for people, all of the gifts. That's how ministry is. Ministries are built with the hands of capable individuals who may never recognize or may never receive the recognition for all the good work that they do. They do it, we do it, for the glory of God. And our satisfaction is in knowing that we have been helped, we have helped to build God's kingdom. Because all the glory goes where? To God. Sometimes I wish I could just disappear. Most people wouldn't like it if I tried to preach like this. But that's how I feel. That's how I pray. Lord, I want you to be seen. I'd rather they look at the cross than look at me. We don't need to be recognized. It's good to be recognized. It's good to be appreciated. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't appreciate one another. We need to. But we also need to do what we do because God calls us and says, I've gifted you. Now, use those gifts, not to make a place for yourself. Use those gifts for the building up of the body, for the sharing of the gospel, that this world around us might become a more beautiful place to extravagantly bless people. We're gifted for extravagance. God's Holy Spirit placed a hand on you at the moment that you gave your life to Jesus. And He blessed you. And He blessed me with gifts, not cards to be collected, but used. Gifts to be used. And He charged us, know the gifts, grow the gifts, use the gifts, each one of us. Why? Because we have a mission, every one of us, to bless people extravagantly. with the love of God, so that together we grow to follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for leading us into this church. Lord, we have found love here. We have found the presence of your Spirit. We have found a purpose. And Lord, we want to live deeply in that purpose, each one of us. And so we come again to present ourselves to you afresh, that your Holy Spirit might fill us afresh and kindle to flame those gifts that the Spirit placed in us when we found ourselves responding to the call of Christ. And Lord, we pray for anybody that might need to respond to that call right now, never given themselves to Jesus. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would just draw them right now into your arms, that you might receive glory. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so our hymn, as promised.